I want to know if you've ever struggled with one of these concerns in your journey. I want to eat healthier, but I don't want to be cooking two different meals every single night. I want to work out more often, but it's so hard with my kids and their all over the place schedule. Or I want to get my workout done earlier, but my little one is just in this phase and is up so much during the night or is up so early in the morning. Have any of those hit home for you or all of the above? You're not alone if that's the case. These are some of the most common difficulties moms worry about when it comes to their journey and how it might impact their family. But those worries don't have to dictate your reality. You can bring your family into this weight loss journey with you without it feeling forced, without it feeling manipulative, and without it being absolutely exhausting. Because let's be honest, we don't need one more thing adding any potential overwhelm. Can I get an amen? So let's go over my top 5 tips to including your family in your weight loss journey. Hey mama, welcome to the Tough Love Mom Podcast. I know you're here because you're ready to get consistent and finally lose that weight, and you're not afraid of a little tough love. You know what to do to lose weight, but following through on those things feels impossible. You wish you could just feel like your strong, confident self again and want to be a good example for your little ones, but you get thrown off by mom guilt and the unpredictability of motherhood. It's frustrating. Taking on your journey postpartum is hard, but it's not impossible. Hey, I'm Liz, and I've been where you are. I gained a lot of weight in my pregnancies, 90 pounds and then 60 pounds. I needed to lose that weight to take control of my health and honestly just wanted to feel like myself again. With a sustainable approach to weight loss, simple consistency, and working on my mindset, I lost it all in just over a year both times, and I'm here to help you do the same. I believe that we have an ingrained ability to figure out what we need to do, make it happen, and do it in a way that awes the world. If you're ready to stop falling off the wagon, create solid routine and healthy habits, and finally feel your best inside and out, all while enjoying dino nuggets on your salad, you are in the right place. We're about to transform your journey, my friend. Get pumped up. It is tough love time. I was that wife before kids that wanted to do workouts with Casey, my husband, and have him eat the way I did because, to be honest, I thought that because I knew what was best for me, that I thought I knew what was best for him. I'm just being honest here today. Marriage is very humbling, and I learned a lot of not just humility, but also flexibility in my journey in those early years, even before we had kids. Over time, I learned to be less rigid in many areas because guess what? With a husband and now with kids, although it is my journey, it's not just about me. And I'd like to think I very confidently include my family in what I do to care for myself in a very sustainable, doable way. So I'm going to share with you today the top 5 things that help me do that. So the first thing is that my kids see me work out. And they have since they were born, basically. I mean, that 6 weeks postpartum I get cleared, they've been seeing me work out. This does necessitate a lot of patience and flexibility, as you can imagine, especially if you've actually worked out with your kids before. Over time, there's various different reasons you need to learn how to be flexible and patient with your workouts if you're including your kids. I also had to change the scenery from gym to home. I still love going to the gym. I love getting outside my house because I spend all day here, but I do love going to the gym. I love the variety that's there when it comes to equipment. And I did that. That's what I did before kids. Afterwards, it just didn't work logistically for me to continue to haul them to the gym every single time with our schedule and everything. So I work out from home now, and it just allows me that ability to be more consistent. Seeing my kids work out also allows me to communicate to them why I work out, and thus it helps better solidify for me why I do this, why I'm consistent, why I have to practice patience and flexibility during my workouts, even though I don't want to all the time. I just want to get it done because I'm including my kids in it most of the time. And it also, this is probably one of my favorite parts of my kids seeing me work out and them being a part of my workouts, is it shapes exercise in their little impressionable minds as something that's beneficial for them mentally, physically, and it's not just for weight loss. I mean, it's so cool for them to, my oldest, my almost 4-year-old, phrases it as, oh, you're going to go take care of yourself, or he knows different little exercise moves and he'll do them and tell me what it's doing for his body, not just aesthetically, because he doesn't even understand that. He knows that, you know, doing squats makes his legs stronger and makes him faster when he runs, all of these things. And it's so cool that with their little impressionable, malleable minds, you get to communicate to them what exercise does for them holistically all around. So my kids see me work out. That is probably my number one and most favorite part of incorporating my family into my journey. And this also leads, so the whole talking to them about what it does for them leads into my second point, is I simply talk about my journey with my family. And I know this can be hard if you're new to your journey and it's not something you've prioritized before. That's okay. It will feel uncomfortable talking about it at first because it's a vulnerable thing. It's new for you. It's probably new for your husband, new for your kids to see you doing this. So it's okay for it to feel uncomfortable, but it won't stop feeling uncomfortable until you continue to talk about it, until you continue to learn how to communicate about this. So with my kids, when it comes to fitness, the way I talk about my journey with them is, again, talking about what different exercises are doing for my body. My almost four-year-old Royce, when he had this phase, he's kind of in it again, to be honest, where he wakes up really early, and I do work out before my kids get up. So sometimes I would have to go in his room literally before my workout and say, hey, mommy needs to go take care of herself for a few minutes so I can be the best mommy I can for you today. Can you stay in your room for a little longer? Do you need anything? I'll be back when I'm done with my workout if daddy's not up by then. Little things like that is huge for just him knowing, okay, mommy, you're going to go take care of yourself. That's how he talks about exercise, that it's taking care of yourself. He understands that there's a mental aspect, an emotional aspect, and a physical aspect to exercise. When my kids are with me working out, we talk about what running or walking or bicep curls are doing for their body and how it can help them in real life. Because exercise at the end of the day helps with you function in your life better, right? When you have strong arms, it's easier to carry your kids around. When your core is strong, when your legs are strong, it's easier to carry 16 bags of groceries in, right? So it really helps with that. And when your kids can start to connect those dots, they're going to see fitness as so much more than something that's just for weight loss or just for your body looking a certain way. And I don't have little girls, but I can imagine the weight of teaching your daughters to understand what that can do for their bodies outside of what women come to think it does for them. You know what I mean? I can only imagine how that feels as a mom. If my boys were, say I had daughters instead of sons, for a daughter to repeat back to me what exercise does for her, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, knowing it's taking care of yourself in a lot of different ways. So you can be the best mom you can be. For a daughter to repeat that back to you, I'm getting emotional thinking about it, because my son repeats that back to me. He knows that I'm a better mom when I exercise in the morning before he gets up. And if he needs to hang out in his room a little bit longer so I can get that done, he understands why that's important. When it comes to nutrition, it's a similar thing with my kids. During mealtime, we talk about what different types of foods do for their bodies, how yogurt helps your tummy feel better, helps you poop. We talk about that. We talk about what water, he knows that drinking water helps you stay hydrated and what that does for your skin and your brain and your body and your muscles and your sleep. We talk about why vegetables are good for you versus protein and what those protein sources and what those different foods do for his body. And yes, we do talk about foods being healthy and unhealthy, but we also talk about what it means to be unhealthy. How, okay, if you're gonna have a lot of sugar today, it might make your tummy hurt a little bit. It's gonna make your brain feel a little funny. You're not gonna feel your best, and it's okay to make that choice if you want to make that choice. Just know it's not gonna make you feel great in a few hours. So that's just some examples of how I guess we talk about exercise and food with our kids, but also when it comes to myself and how I'm choosing to eat or why I'm choosing or not choosing to eat something specific, I talk about why. I can't eat that. I don't say, oh, I can't eat that because I'm trying to lose weight or I'm too fat. I do not say those words ever. We talk about it in a sense of, I'm choosing not to eat that because it doesn't make me feel great. And this is something that's going to make me feel a little bit better right now. It's going to make my body be stronger, healthier, and all those things. we use language around what it actually does for you versus what it takes away, if that makes sense. You talk about it in more of a positive mindset, positive framing than this like negative like diet culture mindset, I guess you would say. So that's how I talk about it with my kids, with my husband, with Casey. You can go listen to our recent episode. I wouldn't even call it an interview. It was more of like a conversation in episode 88. You can really hear in depth how we talk about our journeys together because we're both on individual journeys in our health, but we approach it very differently. So we talk about it a lot, and you'll get to hear really in depth how we talk about it again in episode 88. I'll link it below for you so you can just click it and then add it to your queue so you can listen up next if you haven't. But we share our goals. We share what we're struggling with right now, any wins that we have. And honestly, in my opinion, the biggest thing is our schedule. And we make sure those are aligned. Yes, it's basic stuff, but it also is in-depth communication as well. Now, I brushed over this, but it is one of the top five things that we do is we align our schedules and talk about it. So this in itself is its own point because when it comes to what we've got going on during the week, working out, grocery shopping, cooking meals, eating dinner together, these things all take time. So time has to be factored in for them. If you're not factoring time in for these things, especially your workouts, you're not going to do it. So what this looks like for us, I personally, on my own, usually on Friday or Saturday, I plan my own week. I look at what I've got going on for the kids, myself, what workouts I want to do, what appointments we have, what my work schedule is, and then I plan that out in my own little planner. I use Plum paper. It's great. It's customizable, which is probably why I love it so much. I'm such a planner nerd. But I plan out my own week. And then weekly, usually on Saturday or Sunday, we talk about our upcoming week, including when we're working out. And sometimes I'll share the dinners that I planned out too, just to make sure there's stuff he wants to eat. It lines up with if he's got any sports going on that week or flights that are going to be super late. We just talk over that so we're on the same page. And we know, like during 75 Hard, when I was having to do two workouts a day, there would be days when I'd say, hey, are you going to be home? What time are you going to be home? So I know when to be ready to do my second workout because I'm just going to do it when you get home from work. We talk about that stuff. And we talk about more in episode 88, but sometimes we do talk weekly, once a week, but we also talk day to day a little more succinctly so we can align just like moment to moment, make small pivots as we need to, but we keep that focus there too. This brings me to my next point when we talk weekly about what our schedule actually looks like, and then I make sure that the dinner plan I've got going on is good for him. I cook one meal. And this is something that has been huge for feeling like my journey is cohesive with what my family needs, is I do not cook extra meals for myself and then feed my family something else. I do cook usually a side of chicken nuggets for the kids or some other type of kid food like mac and cheese, but you get the picture. And not that that's like the only thing they eat. I usually just also offer that because if you listen to my friend Ashley Smith of the Veggies and Virtue podcast, she talks about loving it foods, liking it foods, and learning it foods. And chicken nuggets, mac and cheese, quesadillas, those are like love it foods for my kids. And I want to make sure they always have a love it food on their plate with also like it and learning it foods. So seriously, go listen. That concept in itself has been transformational for me. So shout out to you, Ashley, Veggies and Virtue. I'll link her show below too for you guys. And actually I have an episode, I'll link her interview because she's been on the podcast. So, okay, back to my point. I do cook one meal because I'm not going to cook some eat clean meal for myself and a completely different one for the rest of my family. How do I do this, you ask? Okay, I'm going to bust a myth really quick because I think it's important that I address this. Eating healthy foods does not have to be boring. A healthy dinner is not chicken or salmon, broccoli or asparagus, and rice. Like that is not, I mean, yes, that is a healthy meal if you season and, you know, add the extra flavoring in a normal way. Yes, that's absolutely a healthy meal, balanced, got all the major macronutrients. Yeah, it's great. It's great. But guess what? It's really boring. If we eat that maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, I don't love those kinds of meals. Casey has those for lunch, but yeah, I had that season of life where I ate that like every single day, and I'm sick of it. It's boring. So I feel like in this day and age, it's fairly common knowledge that you don't have to just eat foods like that to be healthy, but it is really easy to get stuck in a rut with the quote healthy recipes that you use or know of. So you do need to know there are so many great recipes out there, and you can add variety. I love the Costco taco kit that they sell in the refrigerated section. We do that all the time. I love doing family pizza night and cooking our own pizzas. So I'm more in control of what's going on there and what kind of things are in the ingredients. We do lots of different types of foods. We did HelloFresh for a season, which was great too. So again, eating healthy foods does not have to be boring, and you don't need to be cooking a separate meal for yourself and then a separate meal for your family just so you can be on your quote diet. Like, stop, just stop. What you can also do, I'm going to give you some tips here to make it cohesive to actually be cooking one meal, because I think you need these tips. So first thing, you could cook what you normally cook. So just keep cooking the same things. Don't even start thinking about all these new recipes and different foods and changing up your grocery list and getting these meal plan grocery shopping lists from these Pinterest places. Stop. Keep cooking the same stuff and start watching your portion sizes. Start tuning into your hunger cues a lot better than you have been. Like, that's probably one of the best starting points, because over time, as we've grown, we have learned to ignore and turn off our hunger cues. When you can start better tuning into those, you're going to be so much more responsive to what your body actually needs. So just keep cooking the same stuff and watch your portion sizes and tune back into your hunger cues. Eat a little bit slower. Drink water while you're eating your meal. Not pop, not whatever else that's got a bunch of extra calories in. Drink some water with your meal. And again, watch your portion sizes. We often give ourselves, we eat really, really fast, or we eat while we're not sitting down, or we eat on the go, and we're not noticing what our body needs. And so we're getting seconds, we're getting thirds, and it can take up to 10 minutes for your body, for your stomach to say, oh, I'm full, and for that feeling to come up. And if you're downing two servings within 5 minutes, yeah, you're not going to feel full yet. You're going to still, especially if you get to dinner and you're like starving. It doesn't happen to me because I eat a lot throughout the day because I just love food and I eat balanced and healthy. But if you get to the end of the day and you're starving, and so you sit down for dinner and you're just like gobbling everything up because you're so hungry, it takes time for your stomach to cue in and say, okay, that feeling of fullness is there. You can stop eating now. It takes time. So chew your food slower, drink water while you're eating, have conversation with your family. Stuff like that is really, really, really good for you. So portion focus can be the first thing that you do. Well, you just keep cooking the same stuff. Look at that. You're not cooking more than one meal. A few other tips. Focus on how you're snacking before ever tackling family meals. Look at that. You can keep cooking the same stuff, but instead of focusing on mealtime first, because I think the issue comes in, I think the main issue here is when moms are going, okay, I'm going to start eating healthier on Monday. And so I'm going to cook and prep everything different from breakfast all the way to dinner time. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all the snacks in between are going to be clean. I'm eating totally different. I'm changing it all up. I'm going to 180 my diet. And that is what can cause the strife, because you're not only frustrated, especially those first few days when your body's detoxing from like sugar and from all these foods that you're used to having, and you've changed it up and your digestion changes and you're frustrated, and then your family's frustrated because they're not eating the dinners that they're used to. I mean, whew, talk about stressful. No wonder we fall off when we do that. So instead of trying to change your meals, keep eating the same meals and start focusing on what you're doing during snack time instead. Are you mindlessly snacking between meals? Are you stress eating between meals and after the kids go to bed? Address that first and then deal with the dinners later. I mean, there you go. You're not cooking two separate meals. You haven't even focused on dinner yet. One thing at a time. You could also start serving more vegetables. Like, make a side of veggies and just cook family style and plate your own plate based on your goals and your needs, and allow your family to choose what they do and don't want for themselves based on what you've made. So let's say you're making like oh man, I'm really bad at examples on the fly here of meals because we have like our staples and I just go to them. Let's say you're doing taco night. So you do tortillas, you do the salsa and the guacamole, and you've got chips out and you've got the ground beef. You've got all the cheese and the sides and the toppings. Did I say guacamole already? Gotta have guacamole. And let's say you want to start incorporating more veggies. So you also get some pico de gallo or you make it yourself. And instead of using tortillas, you decide to swap them with the lettuce wraps. Great. That's like a serving of vegetable right there. If you use one of those big lettuce wraps, awesome. There you go. You're eating more vegetables. Maybe no one else in your family wants those. They look at you kind of funny. Why aren't you eating these tortillas that we always, flour tortillas we always get? Well, I just don't want them. I'd rather have this. You know, it's a little better for me. I've had a lot of carbs today. I was kind of snacking a lot earlier. So I'm just going to feel a little lighter, a little more fresh. I'm going to eat these lettuce wraps with my tacos instead. There you go. Add a serving of vegetable to the side and choose that for yourself. It takes a little discipline, but you can do it. You're capable. You can also make small shifts in how you cook when it comes to ingredients you're using, how much salt you're using. Like for example, my mom has this amazing pumpkin recipe that's got like chocolate chips in it and lots of, you know, sugar and all the good muffin stuff. And I've got this really good muffin recipe too that's really healthy. Comparatively, I'm not putting any granulated, powdered, any type of sugar in there. It actually uses honey and it's a really good muffin recipe. I love it. And my mom loves my muffins. I love her muffins, but hers are a little more unhealthy than mine are. So guess what? That's one of the shifts I made. I have that muffin recipe. I do use it sometimes, but I choose to use my healthier version that's got bananas and honey, and it just uses some more wholesome ingredients that aren't as processed. I make those way more often. Also because we always have a couple bananas that brown and I need to use them. So that being said, start making small shifts in how you cook and the recipes you use, the ingredients you're using. Just ingredients is a great account to follow to get some of those swaps and just make those little tiny tweaks in what you're putting in your body to help make it a little healthier. So I pretty much just sucker punched that worry right out of here that I need to cook more than one meal. You don't got to do that. You do not have to cook more than one meal. Okay. Okay. Last thing here, this fifth and final tip that has helped bring my family into the fold of my journey. It's helped so much is having a predictable routine. Not only does this help me personally stay consistent, it creates a lot of stability for my kids and for my husband. And we all know, I mean, especially if you've got toddlers, you know that they thrive on predictability. At least mine do. Maybe because they're kind of like me and a little, they like to know what's coming next and they like to have a plan. At least my oldest does. He's so much like me. It's scary. But knowing what's coming next, having that routine, having predictability is really good for kids. And it also helps your husband and it's going to help you stay consistent. Bonus, bonus, bonus. Win, win, win. I mean, I don't see any other downsides to having a predictable routine other than it can get kind of boring, so you need to change it up a little bit. So when they know what to expect, it makes it easier not only for them to just function and know what's coming next, but it helps them support me in my journey. I'm not all over the place. And I think this is why it gets kind of hard. So I'm going to speak from my example here for a second, but personally, my predictable routine means I'm not all over the place. I'm not inconsistent with my workouts. I'm not eating well some days and then not eating well other days and then getting frustrated with myself and be getting emotional about it because of doing my own thing and making everything harder on my family, right? I apologize if that struck a chord. It just had to be said. A lot of the times, I think the inconsistency that moms face, and it's hard because our kids' schedules change all the time. We do need to be flexible. I've had seasons where I was like, I mean, yesterday I worked out at 5 a.m. Today it was 6 p.m. Tomorrow it's 9 a.m. I mean, I've had days where it's like that. But when you can find as much predictability as possible and insert that into your journey, capitalize on it. Because if we don't, you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be inconsistent with your workouts. You might eat well some days and then not eat well other days. And that makes you frustrated with yourself and you can get emotional about it. We're women, so we get emotional really easily. And when you're doing your own thing, it makes it harder on your whole family. And then stuff falls off, right? Then you're not consistent with your workouts. It makes it harder to be consistent. You just don't even feel motivated to do it anymore, We self-sabotage way too often, and it does not have to happen. Keep what you focus on simple so you can stay consistent and keep in a predictable routine. It's better for everyone. I promise. It's kind of like the bow that wraps everything together with these 5 points, with these 5 tips that have helped me incorporate my family into my journey better. So a recap of these 5 things. My kids see me work out. I communicate to my family about my journey, both the good and the bad. We communicate, my husband and I communicate and align our schedules. I cook one meal for family dinners. And last but not least, I have a predictable routine that my family and myself find stability in when it comes to my journey. Honestly, I call those my top 5 tips, but those 5 things are the only 5 things that there really are when it comes to bringing my family into my journey. They encompass my whole journey. And like I said about that last point with the predictable routine, it kind of ties it all pretty together with a nice little red ribbon, a nice little bow. And it's the way I bring my family fully into my journey, because it includes both our schedules, our fitness, and our nutrition. So if I missed anything that for you has been helpful or instrumental in bringing your family into your journey, I would love to hear what that is, if you would go and share it in the Tough Love Mom Squad, because not only am I going to get some more ideas to spur on you guys, but I want to hear what works for you. I want you to go help the other mamas in the Tough Love Mom Squad by sharing the things that help you bring your family into your journey. So what you can do is down below, you can see the link that says join the Tough Love Mom Squad. You can click that right there. You're not meant to do this journey alone. You can also just head to Facebook and search for the Tough Love Mom Squad. It'll be right there for you. Just click to join, answer a couple questions. Those questions are there so I can serve you better. So please answer them, or your acceptance into the group will get delayed pretty massively. So make sure you answer those questions, and then go share what helps you bring your family into your journey. Or you can even share on the post that's up today what makes it really hard to bring your family into your journey, because I might have an episode that has addressed that. I might have one already. So go ahead, head on in there, go communicate and have some conversations in that post. I can't wait to chat with you over in our group. And in the meantime, go get after it. Before you go, thank you for spending this time with me on the Tough Love Mom Podcast. If this episode encouraged you in any way, the number one way you can thank me is to leave a review letting me know how the show has impacted you. Then send this episode to another mom friend, or take a screenshot, post it on social media, and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me on this journey to impact thousands of moms. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you, sister. Until next time, get after it.